Hi, and welcome to the Cell and Gene Therapy Business Outlook cast for the meeting on the Mesa that's being held in Carlsbad, California this week. I'm Bruce Carlson, Senior Vice President of Publications for Science and Medicine Group. That's a market research company with a lot of brands. One of them is the new Cell and Gene Therapy Business Outlook. And I'm here with the editor of Cell and Gene Therapy Business Outlook, Blake Middleton. Blake, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
We're doing great. This is a big week for Cell and Gene Therapy. I want to start by talking about Cell and Gene Therapy Business Outlook. CellandGeneTherapyBusinessOutlook.com is where you'll find information on that. If you're not subscribing, if your company's not subscribing, please do. We have seat-based rates, so your entire organization can get access to it. It covers who's dealing with whom. It covers financing and cell and gene therapy. Every issue has market opportunity of a given part of cell and gene therapy. So you can constantly track not only what the business is today, but what the business will be. One of the articles that we recently covered in time for the meeting of the Mesa is we constantly track funding deals. And our outlook reported in the eighth issue that there were $54 billion in financing for cell and gene therapy companies in 2021 alone. That includes mergers and acquisitions. That includes venture capital, private funding, IPOs, other funding mechanism for cell and gene therapy and related companies. $54 billion. And while the bulk of that is mergers and acquisitions, at least $20 billion of that amount in 2021, as of the end of September, was from other sources, such as IPOs and venture capital and private funding. So, Blake, you were at some of the sessions today. Did you want to start with liquid versus solid tumors?
Yeah, that was in the morning. Nkarta participated in that. We actually covered Nkarta in our very first issue of Cell and Gene. But yeah, they do natural killer strategies toward solid tumors. The natural killer cells are part of the innate immune system, and they have kind of it gives kind of a different strategy toward going after difficult to reach things like solid tumors are kind of a thorny problem. They're difficult to penetrate by the cells. They kind of have an immunosuppressive microenvironment that prevents these therapies from working. So the talk of the panel was the different strategies of getting around all of this stuff. And again, Nkarta is using natural killers as a way of doing that. Poseida was there. They're doing both allogeneic and autologous gene therapy. They do CAR T. They do dual CAR Ts. They have a prostate cancer program in preclinical and animal models. It's like nearly 100% effective. It's a really amazing thing. So they've had really good success going after solid tumors.
Oh, anything else from that session that struck you?
Oh, Atara is there. They specialize in these kind of Epstein-Barr directed T cells. They isolate EBV T cells and use them to go after EBV related diseases, several diseases and cancers, autoimmune diseases, that kind of thing, are associated with EBV. So by specifically playing around with EBV cells, and they do this in an allogeneic setting, they're hoping to target those diseases, even by genetically modifying EBV T cells.
Looking at the first day on Tuesday, were any other sessions that stand out? Sessions or company presentations?
Mostly the company presentations were interesting. You know, Oxford Biomedica talked about large-scale manufacturing. They're a CDMO, and they were heavily involved in AstraZeneca's COVID-19 vaccine. At the one point, they were producing 1,000-liter batches at once. You know, they had never produced vaccines before. They're like a gene therapy company, and AstraZeneca came to them and said, "Look, we need to make a lot of this really quickly. What can you do?" And they figured out a way to adapt their systems. They just put a new facility online, and just went to town with it, you know, making vaccine. 4D Molecular Therapeutics, we covered them in our issue on capsid design. They talked a lot about their directed evolution system of capsid discovery. They've got three separate pipelines based on three capsids they've discovered through their directed evolution platform, directed at eye diseases, which is their big thing. They've got like four or five eye disease programs in development. They've also got cardiac and lung through their thing.
And anything else that strikes you on Tuesday? Would that wrap it up for the first day, Blake?
Oh, there's a lot of stuff. I mean, mm-hmm. We could go on. Helix Smith talked about their plasmid DNA. Mm-hmm. They have stuff in phase two and phase three. They have a drug for diabetic neuropathy that it's basically in a plasmid injection into the muscle, and the DNA itself doesn't migrate very far. It stays in the muscle and is cleared in a few days, but the effects can persist for months. You know, it has a therapeutic effect that lasts several months later. So it avoids all of these viral vectors and all of that, and it can be readministered because there's no immune response against a particular viral capsid or anything like that. It's simply plasmid DNA. Homology Medicines talked about their capsid programs. They derived all of their capsids from hematopoietic stem cells, which are they're human directed capsids, but they're specialized to what tissues they can go to. So they've got 15 different ones that each directed to with slightly different sequences, but very different target tissues. So yeah, they talked a bit about their programs. There's a lot to talk about. I mean,
anything, anything more for Tuesday?
AvroBio talked about their Plato system, which is a automated closed manufacturing system. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of what's been going on with the talks there have been about scaling up and manufacturing, and a lot of people are looking into building these closed automated manufacturing systems because that's where a lot of the cost comes into this. You know, it's expensive and labor intensive to produce these products. And if you can automate as much of the system and scale it up, it becomes more efficient and cost effective. And, you know, if you're going to be treating a lot of patients with these, some of these people, you know, some of these disorders affect a huge number of people. It's not like little boutique therapies, and you want to be able to produce large quantities of the product in order to meet the need, especially with when you're producing these off the shelf allogeneic approach hand.
Do you see anything stands out that might actually contribute to resolving some of these production bottlenecks?
But yeah, there are companies out there who are heavily invested in large scale automated manufacturing of these of various products, whether it be viral vectors, stem cells, allogeneic immunotherapies, all of that stuff can, in theory, be scaled up and automated.
That's great. And then, so you also attended a seminar today.
There are a few panels, one on, again, manufacturing standardization and automation and the various approaches to, you know, the companies that are trying to build up these systems and the challenges that presents and the successes they've had so far in accomplishing that. But it's kind of the end goal to make this more of sort of factory manufacturing thing rather than very hands-on, individualized approach.
Are we going to be reading about developments from Meeting on the Mesa in the Cell and Gene Therapy Business Outlook?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. There's quite a lot to cover at this meeting.
Anything that you really said of all the sessions or company presentations, is there anything that kind of like you rank highest to any gem of information that you heard that you kind of sticks with you?
There's always impressive like preclinical and clinical data that's reported these things. For example, Poseida's prostate cancer thing, it's really remarkable accomplishment there. You know, little things like that. But that's not really news. It just stands out as a remarkable achievement.
That's great. Well, we've been talking with Blake Middleton, the editor of Cell and Gene Therapy Business Outlook. Blake, thanks for coming on today.
Thank you.
And remember that Cell and Gene Therapy Business Outlook is a 2 times a month publication on the market opportunity, the business, the deals being made, the financing being expanded for cell and gene therapy. You can find information about it at cellandgenetherapybusinessoutlook.com. Thanks for listening.